All right, ladies and gentlemen, you are locked on Falcons. I'm your host, Aaron Freeman, and today I am joined by Dave Choate, the head honcho over at the Falcoholic, the SB Nation website covering the Atlanta Falcons. And of course, Dave is going to be on here today talking with me about his thoughts on the Falcons week three win over the New York Giants and getting to that age old question, is the glass half empty or the glass half full for this Falcon team after this week three win?
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So, guys, you know me. I'm Aaron Freeman. Been covering the Falcons for many years, formerly at FalcFans.com, RIP. Still going strong on Twitter, at FalcFans. And, of course, the host of this preeminent Locked On Falcons podcast, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast right here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. And today's episode of the preeminent Locked On Falcons podcast is brought to you by the preeminent website in rockauto.com, where you can find amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com right now and tell them that Locked On sent you. So today's episode features my conversation with Dave Choate of the Falcoholic, the SB Nation website for the Atlanta Falcons, of course, where I also contribute weekly columns there talking about the Atlanta Falcons. And we'll be talking about this Atlanta Falcons team from Dave, getting his thoughts on sort of whether we should be focusing on the first three quarters of this week three win over the Giants where the Falcons really struggled, or should we be focused more on what the positives we saw in the fourth quarter. We'll talk about the offense, the defense, the good, the bad that we saw on both sides of the ball. We'll talk a little bit about Matt Ryan. We need to talk about what this team needs to do as in addition to what Matt Ryan needs to do in order to get better performances than what we saw for at least three of these quarters against the Giants moving forward as the season goes on. And with that being said, let's jump right into that conversation with Dave Choate of The Falcoholic. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you are Locked On Falcons, and I am joined by another illustrious guest, none other than Dave Choate, the head honcho at The Falcoholic, my new boss. He's here to talk with us about the Falcons' Week 3 win over the New York Giants. Tell us what's good, what's bad, and everything in between. Dave, welcome back to Locked On Falcons.
It's good to be back, and your work is excellent. So,
I appreciate that, Dave. You know, the two old guys joining forces. You know, between us, we have one good hip, right?
Maybe not. I actually fell on my stairs yesterday, and so I have half a good hip now. It was a very old man moment. Wasn't feeling good about it.
I will admit that there has been many a time where I have tripped and falled on my stairs, and I'm sure my neighbor heard this giant man crashing down and wondering if someone died, and I just have to sort of just laugh it off and like, ha, 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 I'm old. Anyway, yeah. Speaking of old, we'll get to Matt Ryan later. No, I'm kidding. but no, let's talk about this week three game, and I was certainly not too positive, as the people say, on yesterday's rapid reaction here on Locked On Falcons, given the fact that for the first 80 or so percent of this game through the three plus quarters, the Falcons seemingly were getting outplayed by the New York Giants. And that was not sitting particularly well for me, given my expectations and my hopes, I guess you could say, that this would be the Falcons get right game, especially for the offense. Obviously, the Falcons were able to turn that around for the last 20% of the game in those final 13 or so minutes in the fourth quarter with the two successful scoring drives and a big defensive stop thanks to the Dante Fowler sack. So I guess my first question for you, Dave, is when you look back at this game, are you focusing more on the first 80% of struggles or the last 20% of shining, as it were?
Yeah, I'd say the glass is half water. It's neither half empty nor half full. I would say I am so desperate through these first 3 weeks, after that first week especially, to find some progress that when I see it, I love it. Certainly a win feels like progress. Certainly some of the things they managed to do there at the end of the game, some of the things they did on defense were progress, and that's great. But it's very hard to overlook, you know, how close they came to losing this game, how many things they had to have go right for them between the Giants' injuries, between Matt Ryan having some very straightforward interceptions dropped. in order for them to actually win. And so, you know, when I look at that, I would say I lean more toward the three quarters being the thing that I would focus on, because the Falcons still have such a long way to go. I don't want people to get really jazzed for this win. I want them to enjoy it, but I don't want them to get so jazzed that if all things go wrong again next week via Washington, which they might, that people are like, well, what happened? Well, what happened is the Falcons are the Falcons, and it's going to take some time to figure this thing out.
Yeah, and I think in retrospect, we'll probably look back at this Giants game, kind of depending on what happens, as you say, over the next week or so. If they go out there and play better against the Washington football team, then we'll probably put a lot more emphasis on how they were able to put things together in that fourth quarter. But if they sort of fall back down to earth and, you know, it's not a tall building that they had to climb to beat the New York Giants. So it's not a backbreaking or a hip-breaking, in our case, fall for them back down to earth. But I think these next couple of games against Washington, against the Jets in London, you have a Miami team, I think, coming out of the bye where they're not necessarily playing their best football and looking like the team that was on the verge of the postseason. So you have three certainly winnable games these next couple of weeks, and if the Falcons can put that together, I certainly will say that I'll be at least 12% more positive on this podcast. I won't necessarily speak for Dave on that end, but it does sort of seem like they kind of have to continue this momentum over these next couple of games. Is that fair for you?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, every week you've been able to find some kind of progress that they've made. And part of that is Philly. The game was so bad, it was hard to find much of anything to like. But yeah, anything you can put together from momentum, if you can get to playing half of a good game, if you can get to three quarters of a good game, you know, I don't want to put the onus on them to play a complete effort just yet. Let's, you know, keep the training wheels on. But yeah, that kind of progress, that kind of momentum is going to be important, and they're going to need to show it.
So we're going to talk about the progress, momentum, and the performance of the Falcons defense, which was certainly the more positive of the two main phases for the team in this week three win over the Giants. And we'll get Dave's thoughts on which players stood out, which players did not stand out in his eyes. But what stands out in my eyes is the NBA side of the Locked On Podcast Network, where you can find a daily podcast devoted to your favorite NBA team, including the Atlanta Hawks. Check out Brad Rowland's coverage of the Hawks on the Locked On Hawks podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. So I know often you guys are listening to this podcast stuck in bumper to bumper traffic, especially if you live in Atlanta. But wherever you call home, I know you burn through lots of gas. Why not get some cash back so that you can save at the pump? You now can with a new app called GetUpside. When you open an account on GetUpside, you get 25 cents back per gallon every time you fill up. Over time, that kind of saving starts to add up, with some people making as much as $200 to $300 a month in cash back with GetUpside. You not only save, but you have multiple cash out options with direct payment to your bank account, PayPal, Amazon gift cards, and more available all the time. And now when you open an account and use our special promo code Touchdown, you can get a bonus 25 cents back per gallon on your first fill up. That's up to 50 cents back per gallon. Don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Download the free GetUpside app, available in the App Store or on Google Play, and use our promo code Touchdown when you sign up. That's GetUpside promo code Touchdown to start saving every time you fill up. BetOnline is back, and it's better than ever, and all eyes are now on the gridiron as we start another football season. And as always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With a new updated website and interface and even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head over to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today with the promo code LOCKEDON for a 100% welcome bonus. Are you riding the Falcons' momentum and betting on them in week four as they are 1.5 point underdogs to this Washington football team? Or are you looking at this Thursday night line where the Bengals are favored by 7.5 points over Jacksonville? And I'm sitting here wondering, have the Bengals been favored by more than like 2 points in any game over the last 5 or 6 years? That is an incredible line. And whether you want to bet on those lines or other things, BetOnline, of course, is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports, from football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait and take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. So as we continue today's Locked On Falcons here with Dave Choate of The Falcoholic, we are talking about the Falcons defense, which I think was the most impressive performance of this Dean Pease led unit so far this season, with their week three win over the Giants holding that team to 14 points, creating turnovers, getting stops in the red zone and whatnot. What were some of the things and or players that stood out to you?
Yeah, I think the big thing for me was it was great to see, you know, minus the Daniel Jones play, which the less time we spend talking about that, the better. We can put that to the history's dustbin, I guess. But Grady Jarrett, I thought, looked like himself, certainly, you know, chasing down Jones in a different scenario, looking like he was able to dominate this, you know, prime matchup he had against the Giants interior. So it was great to see him looking good. It was great to continue to see Dante Fowler looking like an improved player year over year. You know, the consistency maybe isn't quite where you want it yet, but he is definitely looking better to me. That play was huge, and it was just him having a relentless effort and looking, you know, very much like the player the Falcons hoped they were getting last year and really only gotten small stretches. So those two and certainly seeing – you know, Ogundeji and Graham playing well. I thought Graham in particular has played very well on limited snaps the last couple of weeks since the Falcons decided to make Kaminsky inactive and replace him effectively with Graham. So just seeing, you know, some of the stellar efforts from the guys we associate with stars on this team and also a couple of the young guys who potentially are going to be big pieces going forward up front, I thought was great to see. And you know, I don't know that this defense is, you know, light years ahead of where it was a year ago or even ahead of where it was a year ago at all. But certainly once we saw the Falcons kind of right the ship on defense post Dan Quinn firing, that was a winnable level of defense, a good enough defense to win with. And the Falcons seem to at least be in that neighborhood again, which is a big positive.
Yeah. You know, another player that stood out, Isaiah Oliver, you know, some people saying, you know, that this was the best game he's had of his career and certainly made a number of plays in coverage, another number of plays in run support, even got into the act as a blitzer on a couple of reps. And, you know, for me personally, it was very good for my personal brand because a lot of those reps that he had going up against Kadarius Toney once Sterling Shepard exited the game, and I was very vocal about Kadarius Toney being the worst draft selection in round one this past April. So the fact that Isaiah Oliver, of all people, could basically expose the world to the truth that Kadarius Toney was a very bad pick for the New York Giants in round one certainly was good for my brand. But, you know, in terms of your thoughts on Isaiah Oliver, you know, having that type of performance, given he's been much maligned over these last couple of years, you know, where do you sort of stand on this performance? Is this, you know, is this going to be the new normal for Isaiah Oliver, or is it just like, hey, I'm just glad he had one great game and whatever he does moving forward is whatever, but I'm just happy for him given how much grief he has taken from this fan base and from the media over the last couple of years?
A little bit of both. Yeah. I think, you know, I'm happy that he is, anytime we beat up on a guy for being terrible and it becomes almost a meme, whether he's having good weeks or not, like seeing them kind of shrug that off, go out there and do some good things is great. But I also do think that Oliver, I won't say it's been like a night and day switch, but certainly since he spent more time in his current role, he's been a better player and a better fit, I think, for what the Falcons are trying to do on defense. And it's nice to see him in a position where he can be a difference maker. You know, his physicality has always been there. I've always thought, despite a few miscues, that he's one of the team's better tacklers in the secondary, and he's gotten a chance to shine there. So, like, yeah, you know, maybe Toney, to your point, isn't the most impressive guy to have your career game against, but it's still a big deal, I think, that he did have such a good effort. And I think it is something that's kind of his new normal to me. He's going to have his weeks, especially dependent on the matchup. But I think this is sort of where we wanted to see Isaiah Oliver all along, maximizing some of his gifts. And I have to think, if it keeps up, that the Falcons will try to bring him back, which is something that I think was unthinkable this time last year.
probably this time last month, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we will switch gears and go from praising players to possibly not so much praise when we talk about the Falcons offense as we continue today's episode and get Dave Choate's thoughts on which players, which handful of players stood out on that side of the ball in week three against this Giants team. And before we get into all of that, I want to let you guys know that today's episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer when you already have a computer with access to rockauto.com at home or in your pocket? Save time and money when using Rock Auto. You'll spend up to twice as much for the same parts when you order from a chain store or a car dealership. Meanwhile, Rock Auto's prices are always reliably low for every customer. Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. They have everything you need from brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. Go explore their easy-to-use website yourself today and find the solution to your auto parts needs. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck right locked on in the How Did You Hear About Us box so that they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. So as we wrap up today's Locked On Falcons with Dave Choate here of The Falcoholic, let's talk about the Falcons offense. And first, starting things before we get into the standouts for you, where did you sort of expect this Falcons offense to be at this point this year, and how close or how far are they away from that, where they actually are at this point?
They can't even see it on the horizon. Like, that's, you know, I know that I knew coming into this that I was so burnt out on Dirk Cutter that I was probably setting the bar too high. Certainly once they traded Julio Jones, I know, you know, my expectations were probably going to be unreasonable no matter what. But I did think what we'd see is a pretty crisp passing attack, certainly, you know, with the weapons on hand and a pretty good ground game. And I think that the fact that the Falcons kind of have gone the expected direction in terms of trying to balance things out a little bit on offense, run a little bit more effectively, try to keep that short passing game humming. But that they've been so bad at most of it is what's caught me off guard. You know, this feels like, and I hope this is true, that it's about as bad as it's going to get for this team. Just the combination of talent, readiness, you know, where Smith is in figuring things out, where Ryan is in terms of his comfort level with the offense. But it's been shocking to me that they've been so bad and, you know, really worse, I think, than any Falcons offense in the Matt Ryan era that I can recall that wasn't heavily aided by, you know, Roddy White and Julio Jones both being out at the same time, let's say, as was the case in 2013. Like, it's just been so bad. I find myself looking at the numbers, like Evan Birchfield on our site was posting earlier, and just thinking, like, how did this happen? You know, it's the Arthur Smith hire was supposed to be, and I still think long-term will be, an upgrade for the offense, but it's just been, it's been a legitimate downgrade so far. And that's, I keep saying shocking, but it is. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And, you know, I think a lot of my beefs with this team is centered on, it does feel a lot like 2013. And it's like, there's no reason why it should feel like 2013. Again, it doesn't have to feel about like 2016, but it shouldn't feel like 2013. Like, I feel like that bar has been so low that it's like, hey, just don't be as bad as it was during that stretch of games when Roddy White and Julio Jones was out of the lineup in the middle of that 2013 season. And, you know, I'm not going to say it's all good, but it just seems like that's not a high bar that it shouldn't take a lot of effort to clear. And it does seem like this team is really struggling to clear that effort. But that being said, we certainly saw a strong performance from this Falcons offense in the fourth quarter, you know, and there have been standouts for this Falcons offense. And I'm curious to get your thoughts, Dave, on who were some of the players that stood out to you, despite, you know, three quarters of struggling in this Giants win.
Well, first we have to talk about your personal hero, Lee Smith, I think. So, you know, it's been a shocker to me. Not that Lee Smith should be involved in the offense. I think that, you know, Arthur Smith, one of the things that he has been able to do and was able to do in this game is when his top guys are sort of locked up or not where he wants them to be, he's able to take advantage of that and get the ball to, you know, OZ, who I thought did a pretty good job, and Lee Smith. And it's frankly bizarre to see Lee Smith, you know, hauling in three catches and a touchdown when Hayden Hurst gets one target and nothing, and to have Lee Smith out snapping him. And that, and the Felipe Franks weirdness at tight end, has me thinking all sorts of crazy things, but I won't get into that right now. But, you know, I think he's been a really good addition. And I think that Cordarrelle Patterson obviously has been a much more impressive statistically and otherwise addition, but the Falcons have done a fairly good job of adding guys on offense who are actual contributors, despite the overall state of the offense. But Patterson is the guy that obviously stands out to me. I think he and Mike Davis have been a really effective tandem. I wasn't sure what to make of the Falcons effectively just going with the two of them at running back, but Patterson's been great for those big plays. He's been a very capable receiver, which is kind of what I expected him to be when he signed. So if he's only so-so the last couple of weeks as a runner, that's fine. He's doing more than enough. And, you know, Mike Davis being consistently able to turn absolutely no room into positive yardage has also been a plus. So I would say those two, plus Lee Smith, and the fact that the offensive line certainly seemed to do a better job, even if the offense didn't exactly hum because of it, were some of the big positives I took away from this game. It's sad when we can't say Calvin Ridley, Kyle Pitts, Matt Ryan, but the fact that we can't say that,
yeah.
But the fact that we can't say that and they did win is something. So,
yeah. You know, this wasn't Tevin Coleman against the Denver Broncos in 2016 when, you know, it's weird that Lee Smith is the breakout player of the game, or whatever the case may be, to help the Falcons get a win. That's just a weird place to be. But, you know, let's talk a little bit about Matt Ryan, I guess. You know, people have been doing an entire podcast dedicated to Matt Ryan. But, you know, what are your thoughts on Matt Ryan at this point in time, given, you know, the ups and downs this season? Obviously, you know, what's interesting is, you know, there was a lot of criticism for Matt Ryan, as there always is, after losses, and particularly losses where he throws interceptions, whether those interceptions are related to the loss or his fault or whatever the case may be. It's the low hanging fruit. Obviously, there's a lot more praise for Matt Ryan, or let's say less criticism for Matt Ryan this week coming off of a win, although you can make the argument that this may be his weakest game of the season so far. Did you come away with a similar sort of sentiment, and sort of how does that play into the constant weekly referendum that we have to do on Matt Ryan every single week at this point in his career?
Yeah, I would agree. Like, the tough thing for me was I did not see a great Matt Ryan game. Obviously he did some good things late to get them back in it and to ultimately get them the win. And I understand why people are focusing on that, because again, we want positive momentum. We want to move forward and say, Matt Ryan is improving. The offense is improving. Good things are coming. You know, I think that he had a better game last week against Tampa Bay. He was victimized by some bad luck there, more than anything. Whereas in this game, he had incredibly stellar luck on a couple of those throws that were basically right to a Giants defender and they didn't come up with them. Obviously, if even one of those happens, we're probably talking about a loss, and we're talking about having a very different, very tired conversation about Matt Ryan again. Not that they're not all tired at this point. And so to me, he did not have a great week, and they kind of won in many ways in spite of that. I think that where I land on Ryan in this offense is I don't believe that Ryan has fallen that sharply off a cliff. I don't think he's Ben Roethlisberger, and you know, you can set an old timey piano music clip to him, as I saw somebody do. Steven Ruiz, I think, on Twitter, which was hilarious. And like, Roethlisberger is cooked. I don't think Matt Ryan is cooked. I think obviously he's not the guy he once was, but I think once Arthur Smith figures some things out, Ryan gets more comfortable, he starts trusting himself a little bit more and trusting this line, not seeing ghosts. You know, we'll at least see much better from him. And I think that that's one of the things that I would take away from this game is, like, I think that was about as bad as I've seen Ryan play in a while, and they still won this game. And so, you know, maybe he got a couple lucky breaks, but that is a positive. That's something to build on in and of itself, is that maybe this team can win when he has some weak days for a change. And maybe this is sort of the lowest of the low for him. Certainly Washington doesn't look quite as challenging as they did a couple weeks ago. So let's hope he can take advantage.
Yeah. And you know, you talk about better days for Matt Ryan, and it does feel like if the Falcons can get, you know, some speed at the wide receiver position and,
yeah,
you know, I don't know where Matt Ryan's average depth of target ranks, you know, historically, but it feels like this has got to be at the very lowest end of the spectrum when it comes not only for his career, but also quarterbacks in general in the NFL. Just, you know, basically never throwing the ball more than 5 yards out of the field is not a thing that can work. And I don't think, as Falcon fans have made the case in recent years, when it's due to, in regards to Drew Brees, it's because, as you say, he's cooked at this point. I think it's, you know, due to the offense and play calling and not having, you know, more of that speed at the wide receiver position that can stretch defenses. And with that sort of being said, what are for you some of the things that you're looking to see this team improve upon, especially going into this week 4 game against Washington?
Yeah, I'd love to see them add a John Brown. Like, I don't think any of us are making a big secret of our desire to see somebody like him, who might be able to help this offense stretch things out vertically a bit. I'd love to see, you know, Arthur Smith and company sort of figure out how to get Calvin Ridley in a position where he is not getting the ball 4 yards out and having to power through contact to pick up a bunch of yards. It's not the best use of Calvin Ridley's talents. I would love to see them figure out some creative ways to, you know, get Kyle Pitts going, certainly to encourage Matt Ryan to trust him in one-on-one matchups, if that's something that he's not doing. It certainly seemed like he passed up those opportunities against the Giants. I would love to see him say, remember that catch, you know, a couple weeks ago where Kyle Pitts caught it behind his head and suddenly he accelerated like nobody that size ever should be able to do and picked up 20-something yards. Like, trust that guy to get the job done and really involve, unless they've completely soured on the guy, involve Hayden Hurst more. Like, I just can't imagine going 2 weeks in a row if we don't have Russell Gage again without Hayden Hurst being a significant part of this game plan. So I would love to see them try to figure out how to incorporate some of these guys that we know can be playmakers in more effective ways. And then just keep giving the ball to Cordarrelle Patterson too, because that seems to be working and something should. So if you have a fallback plan there, it's Cordarrelle Patterson and maybe some Felipe Franks at tight end. I'm excited about that one.
There you go. There you go. We'll leave it out on that super positive note. Felipe Franks, the savior of the Falcons offense as their new look tight end, making Kyle Pitts look even more like a wasteful draft pick. But we'll save that conversation for a future date. Dave, I appreciate you joining me here on Locked On Falcons, and let the listeners know what's in store over at the Falcoholic.
Yeah, this week we'll be talking Washington football team, and it's really hard to write like football team improve this offseason and not feel like you're doing something wrong. So I got to get by that. But we'll be talking series history, sort of where that Washington is at in their particular journey and why they haven't looked very good so far. And I expect we'll get a great column previewing the matchup from Aaron Freeman at some point. So looking forward to that.
It's going to be a tough week because I can't fall, as I said to you before we started recording, I can't fall back on my old Jalen Mayfield bad takes. So I'll have to come up with a new punching bag. Isaiah Oliver is sort of erasing him from that possibility. So I'll find somebody else. Maybe I'll complain about, you know, not having speed at the wide receiver position. But always got to find something to complain about.
Yeah.
That's how we do here on Locked On Falcons. And now I'm bringing that energy to the Falcoholics. So, you know. Congratulations, Dave, for making that decision.
It's a great decision. I really think so. We're injecting some glass half empty. We love it.
Glass is shattered on the floor half.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there we go.
There you go. So, Dave, really appreciate you joining me on today's Locked On Falcons, and look forward to future conversations where we can look back, you know, several weeks from now and see what progress has been made by this Falcons team, and maybe all this hand-wringing that we've done over the first couple of weeks, you know, will be long gone, or maybe it's, you know, increased tenfold. So we'll see how it all plays out. But I appreciate you for joining me on today's episode.
Thanks for having me.
All right, guys, there you have it. Dave Choate of the Falcoholic. And that's where we'll leave it for today's Locked On Falcons podcast. And whether you're feeling, you know, great about the Falcons Washington game or that Bengals Jaguars line, or whether it's football, basketball, baseball, whatever the case may be, you know, Lee Sterling, the handicapping expert that you can hear every day on the Locked On Bets podcast, is giving you that expert insight into which games you should be betting on. Lee's giving you his daily picks, his blowout special, wrong team favorite, his lock of the day. I believe I saw the stat last week that they were like 64% accurate on all their bets, which is, you know, may not seem like a great number, but that's incredible number when it comes to betting. And if you consistently take all those bets, you know, 64% hit rate, you know, over time is going to pay out big money. So definitely check out the Locked On Bets podcast, brought to you by betonline.ag on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. So, guys, tomorrow, of course, is going to be a all 22 review as well as a Q&A. And if you want to send in your film or non-film related questions that you want me to answer on tomorrow's episode, you can do so by hitting me up on Twitter at Locked On Falcons, on Facebook at Locked On Falcons, or you can send an email to LockedOnFalcons@mail.com. Appreciate it, guys. Till then.